Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown are made for Melbourne. The Chrissy, Sam, and Brownie podcast.
Thank you ever so for finding us on your device.
Big show, Swan, today.
Big show.
What about
we had it, of course, let's just go straight to it. A surprise guest for you, Sam Pang, Ted Kotcheff. Now, we introduced him as the director of Weekend at Bernie's, but he ended up being so much more.
Well, there's so much more. He's Rambo, First Blood, Brownie.
Uncommon Valor, Gene Hackman.
Wake in Fright, the classic Australian movie. He's got great stories about all these things, and it was it's unbelievable. It's a great chat. I'm so
unbelievable
happy that
tells
and
also
surprised.
Reveals who is the greatest actor he's ever worked with.
Of all
and
time.
He's worked with all the A-listers.
Scott Baio.
I mean, apart from, that's not fair to even include that. You've always, when you ask that question, who is the best actor of all time, you've always got to put in the disclaimer of, apart from Scott Baio, because everybody chooses him.
And Swan, we spoke about a PI who chases around cheaters.
God. Yes.
And, a man got caught with his pants down in the Bunnings car park.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Yeah! Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Good morning, Melbourne. Here you are on a Thursday. Jonathan Brown.
Here.
Samuel Pang.
Present.
Dean Thomas.
Hey, how you going, old son?
I'm a bit nervous, actually.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I've just had a look at the run sheet, which I usually don't do. But anyway, I thought I'd have a look today.
Not bad, a week before official. We finish the year. He's a slow burner.
And there's after 8 o'clock, a surprise guest for me.
Yeah.
Have a guess.
Mate, this is not Rumpelstiltskin. He's never going to guess.
Have a guess.
I heard Dano ponder that it might have been Burt Reynolds, but I don't think it would be.
It certainly isn't. This person is in studio.
Scott Baio.
Mate,
he'd be here too much stuff on getting. He's ahead of the CIA at the moment, isn't he?
He certainly is.
I've got no idea, and that's why I don't like surprises, Brownie. You like surprises?
Not really, but
no. Who likes
I'm
surprises?
Not the one receiving the surprise.
No one really likes surprises. However, you look at me and you tell me honestly, would I ever do anything that would make you uncomfortable or upset?
Well, you bring in those housewives of Melbourne every bloody week. Why would I trust you now?
Get more Chrissy, Sam and Brownie on Facebook and Instagram. Made for Melbourne. Nova.
Chrissy Swan.
My love.
You ever heard of the or been involved in a punters club?
No. I knew there was a pub called the Punters Club.
Yes, previously. Yeah. Now it was in Brunswick Street. Across the road from the Evelyn, it was a...
Was there live music there in the 80s?
Absolutely was.
Yeah, it was a venue.
Bit too grungy for Brownie.
Oh. Well, apparently that's where Penny did some of his best work after dark.
And what do you mean too grungy for Brownie? He was passed out in the gutter in Warrnambool.
That's true. passed out in a gutter, looking up at a pet store, going, I'm going to own that one day.
Lybeck Street.
Lybeck.
I was, it'd be funny if that was his epiphany. He had the epiphany of that's when he decided to
moment,
go into the
pet industry.
Food money. Anyway, Punters Club used to be a pub, but also it's part of many people's lives where, for instance, this show could easily have a Punters Club where... The one I was involved with when I used to work at the Clifton Hill Hotel, or you do it with mates, is we all put in $10 a week, right? So with me, you, Brownie and Dino, that'd be $40. And on Friday, you alternate whose turn it is, and you get to bet the $40 on anything you want. You can say, I'm putting $40 on Richmond over Hawthorne, and then if you win, basically it just gets pulled, and then... Usually,
I love this idea.
No, it's beautiful in
and
spirit.
And if you win, Swan, you get to have the bet again the following
that's
week.
That's right. And if you don't, that's fine. The bet's gone, and then it goes to Brownie, extra $10. It's $10 every week, so it's $40.
I love it.
It's beautiful in spirit. And usually, all it ends, you end up with $500 to $1,500, whatever it is at the end of the year, and you just go out to dinner. It's Christmas, Christmas lunch. Beautiful.
We are doing this.
All's well that ends well.
Usually it ends well. In the news at the moment, there's one that didn't end that well, involving a man called Bill Vlahos. But I'll let Quarters describe who he is.
A once high-flying racing identity who organised a secretive Victorian punters club has faced court.
So as a general rule, a couple of things there. One is colourful racing identities or high-flying identities, they're always great.
Yeah.
But also when the punters...
Yeah, colourful means, Swan, in racing. Colourful racing identity.
Illegal.
Crook.
Okay. He's a crook. Okay. Yeah.
But that's not Bill in this case. We're just saying. But the other thing is, as a general rule with punters clubs, when they end up in court... Hasn't gone well.
No.
Right? Would you like some more details about this punters club?
Of course I would.
This punters club, The Edge, was established in 2004, promising returns of 25% a year. It grew quickly before collapsing in 2013.
It's gone for 9 years, this punters club, Brownie.
Mm. It had a name,
yeah.
The Edge.
Yeah, there's my first. There's the first alarm bell, right?
Yeah.
Also, you shouldn't be guaranteeing returns on your... Because, you know, if we did a punters club, mate, and you're going, oh, yeah, I'm going to have $40 on the Vixens over, and they're going, yeah, that, you know, that's, they're not even in the AFL. What, you know, like, you,
yeah, that's
who
right.
knows? There's no guarantee. Yeah.
There's no guarantees. That's bonkers. Even I know
well,
that.
Well, a good year on the share market's 10 or 15%, and that's blue chip stocks on. The safest probably
unless
investment.
Unless it's you, you look about 30%. So rich. Wow.
Here's
yeah, the pet game's strong.
You can Uber.
Here's basically why. Here's why Bill Vlahos is in court.
No answers either for the 1,500 or so high-profile and wealthy customers it's alleged he ripped off to the tune of around $128 million.
So this is not four people putting in $10 a week at $40. This is high flying. This is the top end of town, and it's gone for 9 years.
Yes,
and $128 million is alleged to have been ripped off, Brownie, in this punters club called The Edge.
I'm trying to work out what that is. I'm not that great with maths or calculators, but the average person there in The Edge had invested over $85,000 each.
Should have just bought a pet stop in Warrnambool. But Brownie, are you?
What one of the towns in Victoria, Yarrawonga. A lot of, I think it's Yarrawonga. A lot of the, quite a few residents from Yarrawonga got caught up in The Edge.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know about this?
Well, I know
club?
About it because I've been involved in one of these punters clubs. And Swan,
what top end high price?
Oh yeah, they are one of the great scams. Doing the round, Swan.
Are they?
So I wasn't involved in The Edge, but I've been involved in other ones as well.
Did you lose any money?
I was one of the few that won.
Bloody typical.
No,
how
no,
much did you
no.
get out?
Yeah. Bloody typical. So what was it? Were you the Vlahos of the piece? Was it your idea? He was the kingpin.
You know when
I'm a big fella.
You know, it's. You know when Sam Pang said colourful identity before. I think he was referring to me. No, I was in it with three of the boys up north, and it was two. We started to smell a rat after you would get an email every week saying, yeah, we backed. We had three bets at Flemington.
Yep.
You know, we had two winners and one of them ran third, and they would just put on the email, you know, yep, we invested this. This thing paid $4. So we had a winning of 8.3%. Then the next week would be 6.2%. Next week, 12.1%. But it was always within a range.
What a percent? I just want to know if I've won $70 or not.
That's
correct.
Right.
That's
and then
right.
once a month, you'd have a loss. But it'd only be about 1% loss or 2% loss. And then you'd look at, then they'd send these beautiful spreadsheets through. Your investment has now built up, you know, is gone up 20%, 30%, whatever. And we smelled a rat and we tried to get some of it back because we want to go on a bit of a trip to Bali.
Right.
I'd put in about, the three of us had put in about $6,000, Swan.
Yeah.
And this, a mate of mine, a mad mate, who's a bloody lunatic, he kept ringing this number.
Pikey.
Over and over and over again.
How is Pikey?
Can't reveal you on air. G'day, Uncle Martin. And so this...
For the record, it wasn't Pikey.
This guy got hounded so much that he paid us out $22,000.
Wow.
So that's what they do, Swan. Every now and again, they release a bit of coin. So word spreads around that, oh, yeah, no, they're legitimate because they're paying people out. And that's how they keep the ruse going.
Well,
for
that's
a long
interesting.
Time.
That Brownie,
a lot of AFL players lost a lot of money in this.
Brownie wanted answers. He went to the phone. Unfortunately, people involved in this can't get any answers.
Just days after the Punters Club collapsed, Bill Vlahos was allegedly assaulted and his car set on fire. His laptop that supposedly held all the betting records was destroyed in the blaze. No one has ever been charged.
Apart from that, this Punters Club was a cracking success.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Ooh. So it's time for me to do my expose on taste.com.au, namely the reviews that people leave after they've had a crack at the recipes. And I've been doing this for ages, but we haven't had an official opener from our genius audio producer, Mount.
Well, he had his snorkel fixed last week.
Correct, he did. And, you know, well, that's what he says, but actually he was away working on this.
You made it wrong, wrong, wrong. The strawberry doesn't go in the fish with salt. In taste, come, come, come.
Yes.
That is
impressive.
That is the ultimate, the ultimate example of the opener being better than the segment.
By a long way.
I want it again. Is there any way? Could we have it again? Because I feel like we've got to understand the words.
There'll be no time for the recipe, you know that, day.
That's fine.
How do you do it?
You made it wrong, wrong, wrong. The strawberry doesn't go in the fish without salt.
My God, the strawberry doesn't go in the fish risotto is exactly the premise of this segment. So what I do is I trawl taste.com.au and I find recipes. There are over 400,000 to choose from. So the bad news for you, Sam Pang, is this segment isn't going anywhere. There's an endless supply of recipes and the resultant reviews of people that have had a crack. And then for the sake of the community, they get in and they tell you how it went.
Yeah, I've enjoyed this. There's many instances, Brownie, where someone says, I didn't really like that recipe, and then going, oh, by the way, I didn't use instead of lamb, I used, you know, fish.
Pork.
Yeah. Or pasta.
This recipe for chicken risotto sucks. I used fish and water and it just didn't taste like it should. So here is a recipe for stir-fry creamy pork with beans and rice. Yum.
Nice.
Katrina Alm on Monday the 27th of August 2012 says, oh, so I'll tell you again, stir-fry creamy pork and with beans and rice.
One of yours, Pingy?
Not cream, mate.
Totally forgot to add the cream and beans, but this was so yummy.
It's a crack. That is a cracking start.
Wait. Stir fry note is the method.
Yeah.
I threw in some carrot and pumpkin and cooked it in the slow cooker. Mate, is this person even
reading the recipe as they're going through it? You would actually question that if you listen to what's going on.
Is there any part of the name of this dish
is there any
actually
pork
gets used in the cooking method?
And you know what?
Is there pork in it?
Yes, she used pork scotch steaks.
Steaks, not...
in a stir fry. And then it says with rice, and she said, towards the end I added quinoa.
Yeah, quinoa is a good go.
The only downside I would say would be that it wasn't seasoned enough.
Well, whose fault's that?
No! Put some salt and pepper in it, Katrina. Turn up to your own life.
It said to say salt, put salt and pepper in it, but instead she put in potato chips.
Yeah,
whatever.
No. Yes. Now here we have
salt and vinegar.
What's the name of this one?
Salt. So you know, they'd flavour some chips.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so this one is I don't know what it's called. But it's bring a touch of Korean barbecue to the dinner table with this sweet pork dish.
Love the
And
Korean
it's essentially
barbecue.
The four main ingredients are
poor man's Chinese.
Pork fillet, red chili flakes, two cups of bean sprouts, so it's heavy on the bean sprouts, and two cups of rice. So it's rice, bean sprouts, lean pork fillet and chili.
And
other things, but that's essentially
seems
it.
Seems like a lot of bean sprouts.
Thanks, Brownie.
Anyway.
Marie made it, and she said, quite tasty. I used beef. I also omitted the chilli, and the store had no bean sprouts, so I used snow peas. So she's made a dish which is essentially chilli, pork and bean sprouts with beef, no chilli and snow peas.
Couldn't tell the difference.
It's all right.
I told you there was too many bean sprouts and that's what. Nova, Chrissy Swan,
Sam Pang and Jonathan Brown. Okay, so get ready. Chrissy's celebrity stuff.
Hey, let's do a little bit of topical celeb stuff. Because Madonna's 16-year-old son, Rocco, has been arrested for marijuana possession. Ooh. And topical because of Jamie Murphy, who got off in Bali because his little bag only had Panadol in it. Mm.
That kid get off.
Yes. Yeah. Because, you know what?
Blood tests were clear,
and they did tests on the bag, and it was just Panadol and cough medicine. Whatever.
Really?
So he'd bought it.
I didn't know.
He'd bought it from a dealer in Legian and been ripped off. Isn't that the best news?
Yeah, great news. Cinderella story.
Hey, is there any part of you that thinks that Julie Bishop may have got on the phone yesterday and just made a couple of phone calls through to her Indonesian counterparts?
I think that's exactly what happened, Brownie.
Do you?
No.
I don't know. I look at Julie Bishop and I think she doesn't give a shit about that sort of stuff.
Anyway. She was over there quick. It's like she's got a villa waiting ready to go. drop of a hat. She's ready to go.
16-year-old Rocco was detained after a stop and search was performed by officers from the Camden Police Department on September 28. So
there's Dino's one of Dino's four sound effects that he can go to. Can we get him some more?
That's his favourite one. Yeah. That's his ringtone.
It's a soundtrack to his life.
Anyway, hopefully they do a test on it and it's just everybody loves hot sauce and spices. bit of dried oregano.
Might do one on you soon.
Fingers crossed.
How are you?
Good to be back. Good to see you. Sorry. You two have been giggling the whole time.
You know what I've just realised? Bernie's coming a bit early, always prepared. Mm. All right, we've been talking for maybe 10 minutes.
I know what you've noticed.
I've only just realised that he's had a go at Movember. Did you even notice?
I can't believe no one's noticed.
What's the date? It's November what?
Late. 24. It's late November.
Bernie, no.
Mate. Are you kidding me?
Well, I've been trying to stand under the light. I didn't actually want to talk to you. I stood under the light.
He's got a little bit of blonde bum flap.
He looks like a young Larry Bird.
He does.
Hey, how bad is the blonde? The blonde moustache. How bad are they? They're terrible. That is unbelievable.
Not great, is it?
Not a word of a lie.
You're in shock.
My moustache is better than yours. That is not even joking.
Megan Gales.
I know you're not lying. I can see it from here.
I know.
Yours is definitely better.
Megan Gales is better than yours. Have you seriously had a go at that all from November?
Is this from the 1st of November?
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Are you an act?
You are so impressive for a 15-year-old, Bernie. I just am absolutely pumped for you.
Are you an ab still an item?
Yes, after your trip overseas.
Max Gorn was in here a few weeks ago and just ran us through your little overseas romantic holiday. What happened?
What was the story again? What did Max Gorn tell us?
He told us that Bernie took the lovely Abby over there for a beautiful romantic trip to America.
She'd never been before.
Happened to end up in the same destinations all around America that a few of Bernie's very close mates. It was an awful coincidence, happened to end up in the same town without their girlfriend, Swan.
That was a terrible coincidence. For starters, yeah, Abby'd never been to the States, so we thought we'd do a big trip this year and head over there, but I thought we needed to break the trip up a little bit at times without telling her until we were sort of boarding the flight. Yeah, caught up with Tex and Crouchy. They were in Vegas and New York with us.
What did she do when you were out with them?
Well, she went shopping a little bit. She called me to see where I was a fair bit. A lot, actually.
She turned into a handbrake.
Well, then Tex and Crouchy left, so then there's a bit of Bernie Abbey time, and then Watsy and Dorsey turned up. So
that was another
terrible coincidence.
She's lucky girl, mate.
We had a great trip. The end of the trip was really good. We drove down to LA from San Fran, which is unbelievable. If you haven't done that, you need to do that.
I would love to do that.
Right on the coast, amazing views out over.
Is it hard on the other side of the road, though? Is that a bit confusing?
It actually is. You got to really concentrate. You can't just get in the car and drive, because a couple of times when I got a pretty confident in my driving, I forgot and nearly pulled onto the left side. Not at high speed, but it's more when you stop at the stoplights, and that's turning left across traffic or right across traffic, and you think.
What about when you're on the roads too, and there's no other cars?
Yeah, that's when it gets
you. Slipping and driving on the left hand side.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon you just got to concentrate a little bit more than what you do over here, because I sort of go to sleep when I get in the car here.
Like pangies now.
Football never stops. Chrissy Swan, clubs have returned after their break to pre-season training.
Even the Demons.
Well, they, you know, we brought it up a couple of weeks ago because they stagger the return depending on the age of the person. Mm. So, Bern, you've only just returned this week, is that right? As one of the veterans?
Back this week, yeah, there's two groups. First to 4 years and the four plus or five plus.
What's the reasoning behind that?
I'm not actually sure.
No, it is to avoid long service payments.
Okay.
Yeah, because they are employed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so players were entitled to long service, but they're having problems that when players would retire, they would say, oh, right, Owen, you owe me 16 weeks of long service, which you have to get paid. So this is a way the Players Association got around it, or the AFL got around.
So it has nothing to do with the management of the body of the older players, Brandon?
Well, a bit of that as well, but that's how it originated.
And how's it gone, mate, in terms of, you know, this would be what number pre-season is this? Because this is a new phenomenon to Chrissy Swan about pre-season. Yeah.
Well, the kick-off of footy season seems so far away.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's pretty early. But, yeah, this is a bad week for sleeping for a lot of the boys. I don't stress too much about it, but a lot of testing this week. So we do a
testing?
Yeah, everyone...
It's like a lab rat this week.
Gets an off-season program, running program and weights program. So if you haven't been doing that, you soon get found out in the running test. So we're straight into a six-minute run Monday. We had a 3K run yesterday. Oh. And then, yeah, we do some weights testing and skin fold testing. Be right up your alley, Pangy.
Tell us what about the skin. We've told her about how to get around the skin fold test, but tell her roughly what the marker is. You've got to come. What are the rules at Melbourne?
Yeah, so there's clubs. It's done with a caliper, and it's in millimetres, I think, and you've got to be under 50. I think it's seven different sites, so it's all over your body. Calf, quad.
Oh, my God.
Gut, this is a couple of spots on your gut.
Like for a normal person, or maybe just me, that is a nightmare. I had one of those tests. I think I came in at 500, and then I never went back to the gym. It was part of a gym assessment, and they got out the calipers, and they're just grabbing enormous rolls. I'm like, you can see, you don't need a set of calipers to measure. Use your eyes. Why do you think I'm at the gym?
Now, how bad's that gym assessment, that first one? I remember I did one too. They didn't have calipers. They had the jaws of life.
What's the fat part of your body? Everyone's got a fat part of their body.
Yeah, the fat part's just the beer gut down the bottom. Yeah,
your guts.
So it quickly works off, though. Once you get back into the swing of it, like this week and next week, it'll be right down again, but I'm right up around the 50 mark.
What was your fat part of your body?
The quads, the thunder thighs.
The thighs.
The thighs.
What's your fat part of the body,
Brown? The fat part of Brownie's was his wallet. That was always that was always the worst thing of the preseason for Brownie. Mate, listen, your club is in the news. You are aware of that, aren't you? With Heretia Lumumba.
Heretia
Lumumba.
What's going on, mate? Is he retired through concussion or not?
Actually, I only found out about this yesterday, and yeah, it's disappointing that he's come out and said that, because I think the doctors, they take more precautionary side of things especially with head knocks, and they'd leave you out for, excuse me, probably an extra week or an extra couple of weeks just to be careful. So for him to say they didn't treat it right was a bit disappointing, but I don't know the full ins and outs, and I'm not sure if he's retiring or what. It looks like he is.
It's hard to talk about, it's hard to speculate on players' injuries and concussions, because no one knows their body unless you're actually inside it yourself, Swan. But the jungle drums have been beating a little bit that Heredia is struggling to get a game in your 22, and is also maybe looking for a payout for the concussion. So he, and if you get a payout for having to retire, you get another year of your contract or your last contract. So there's a bit of speculation there, but yeah, that'd be disappointing for the medicos, I would have thought.
Yeah, definitely, because we got, well, I guess every club say that, but we think we got the best medicos in the comp. So, and they're, I know they are, they're very cautious on that issue. And I think the whole AFL, the whole industry, rugby, everything's really careful on it now. So it's a little bit disappointing, but it's real messy. How do you prove that he didn't play because of his head or, you know, or he wasn't selected? Because he spent large amounts of the season last year away from the club. So
you say that you guys have got the best medicos. How do you rate them on a scale of 1 to Essendon?
The other end of Essendon, wherever they are.
That's a good question, by the way. Yes, just before we let you go, it's, you know, your club, big. It's just a lot of news coming out of your club, including two big issues.
Demon star Jack Watts is confident 2017 will finally be the year Melbourne breaks its finals drought. And Watts has revealed all about his controversial new hairdo.
I saw on the news 2 nights ago, someone has a big story about can Melbourne make the finals. We're doing tips in November. Yeah. And also, Jack Watts' new hairdo.
What the hell?
Oh,
that's huge.
Do you want to hear from Bernie or do you want to hear from Jack? Who do you want first one? Oh, let's hear from Jack.
Let's hear from Jack.
Oh, it was more of a dare from one of our mates. And
yeah. I heard a different story, actually.
Oh, what did you
hear? Oh, I thought it was a Halloween setup because I was actually over there just after Halloween. His hair was purple. So
He tried to
fix it up, and I'm not too good with hair, but I think if you dye it a couple of times, it goes real white.
Yes, it does.
Right? Yeah, that's what's happened.
There's an exclusive breaking the big footy news on there.
If you're a Melbourne supporter, wouldn't that instill you with a huge amount of confidence?
Bernie, we love you. We'll see you again soon.
Yeah, Bern.
Thanks, bye, guys. Bern.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Good morning, Melbourne. Welcome to your Thursday. We're all here for you.
Good morning.
Something is unfolding, Pang, at the moment in Brisbane. And because we are live radio, we can roll it out as it happens. You are going to want to know about Daniel McConnell. Something happened last night or early this morning. A man, a suspected drunk driver or someone under the influence of something, has rammed into a fish and chip shop in a Brisbane suburb overnight. And it woke up Daniel McConnell and he came out to see what was going on. And he noticed that the guy was a bit suspect, the guy that had crashed with the fish and chip shop, and he was upset about it because that was his mate's fish and chip shop, goddammit. He was upset about that. His mate's parents had worked there for years. And he was like, how dare you disrespect the shop by running through it? And then he thought he was sus and the guy took off, and then Daniel McConnell got in his car and chased him down and caught him in the middle of the night and handed him over to the cops. But I think that's probably enough from me. Let's hear from Daniel himself.
I was in bed sleeping and my wife comes in and says, someone ran into the shop. So I jumped out of bed and all I had was my undies on, and I've walked out the front and I've seen the car smashed and I've seen the bloke. And I said, oh, what are you doing, mate? Like, you can't be leaving the scene. And he goes, don't be a hero, mate. And I said, I'm not trying to be a hero, but the police are coming. And he just decided he'd scoot up the road. And I just said, nah, it's not going on like that, mate. So I jumped in my car and I started chasing him up the road. And then he went down a side street and then the police were coming. But, mate, all I had was me jocks on. And I was chasing him up the street and I'm just like, mate.
Mate.
I am in love with him. Not a tooth in his head. He doesn't have a T-shirt on when he's live on telly.
Plenty of ink.
Bloody brilliant.
Had the pub brawler's head on.
Mate, he'll be on Triple M Brisbane in about 5 minutes. I reckon.
But I had nothing on bar me jocks.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
The time has come. We've organised a little surprise for Pang, and I know that you hate surprises, but I think you're going to love this one. To get you on the page, we know that you love movies and you love, you know, all that kind of 80s, 90s stuff. It was really important in your formative years. And really, was there any film more important to you than Weekend at Bernie's?
Presenting in 1989, one of Sam Pang's favourite movies.
Gentlemen, What have you got for me?
A great movie. That's what we've got. Introducing...
Bernie. Call me Bernie. I mean, my father is Mr. Lomax, right?
Huh? It's a story of a potential great job opportunity. And in the era of partially describing the location and setup of the entire film in one quick sentence.
How would you two like to come to my house at the beach? When we're not working, there are plenty of distractions. There are women swimming, boating, famous people.
Love to!
Okay. Good!
A quick turn of events after arriving at the place with the women swimming, boating, and famous people.
What?
Larry Lomax is dead.
What kind of a host invites you to his house for the weekend and dies on you?
With a predicament came a great idea.
Why don't we just pretend he didn't die?
The concept of tying a dead man in fishing wire and making him wave to people sound scary.
Hey, Bernie! Larry! Great party last night, Bernie. Your best ever.
Ladies! Hello! How are you today?
Great. Bye.
Not when you had sunglasses and a bright blue sports coat with a pina colada.
If you like pina coladas.
As Dino said, imagine pitching this movie idea in 2016. Two guys drag a dead guy around the Hamptons and live in his house and make it a comedy.
Look, honey, Lomax is dead here. Somebody's trying to kill us. Can we stay at your house till the cops come or what?
That's what made the 80s and 90s spectacular.
Lomax told whoever he's talking to not to kill us if he's around, right?
Yeah, but Lomax is dead. He's not around anybody anymore.
I know that. You know that. Nobody else knows that. Huh? Oh! Whisper!
But no doubt, there will be a remake soon.
That's right.
The movie where rigor mortis and decay did not exist.
Oh, Bernie, you animal, you are insatiable.
And every movie trailer was voiced by this guy.
Weekend at Bernie's.
1989, and Chrissy, Sam, and Brownie present one of Sam Pang's favorite movies.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's, a classic. We all loved it. And Sam Pang, your surprise today is the director of Weekend at Bernie's, Ted Kotcheff.
Hello, Sam, baby.
Ted.
The man who made it possible. Welcome to our show. Oh,
thank you.
How?
I can't be happier. All this applause.
Ted, how can we ever thank you for bringing a scene to our lives where a dead man has a toupee stapled onto his head? How can we ever thank you?
Do you know how that all came about, that film?
Please tell me.
I had a very good friend who wrote, it was a writer called Robert Klein, and he wrote a very good funny picture called Where's Papa? I know you've ever seen it with George Hill.
No.
Oh, do see it. Mm-hmm. It's a black comedy.
Great.
Where's Papa? And then we were friends. We had done a picture together. And one day he comes to me and he says, Ted, I need your help. I'm desperate. We got to work together. I said, what's up? He said, I got this idea in my head and I can't get rid of it. I said, what is it? He said, I keep seeing these two young guys. They're dragging a dead body around pretending it's alive. And I said, oh, I said, that's really kind of interesting. I said, how did he get there? I don't know. Well, what happens afterwards? I don't know. That's why I'm coming to you.
And Bernie enough. Lomax was born.
And that's enough for a major motion picture in Hollywood in the 80s.
So we fled up to Santa Barbara in a hotel, locked ourselves in, and wrote the script.
Who came up with the idea of the corpse on the speedboat? Another great scene, Ted.
Well, we came up with all sorts of ideas, you know, about it, yeah. That was incredible.
By the way, you just carry it, because I've got nothing over here. I am speechless.
Was the corpse on the speedboat?
It kept hitting the board.
Was it Bernie?
Yeah, Bob.
Was that a mannequin or a stuntman dressed up in protective clothing?
No, that's a stunt. That's not going to be a stunt gang. Come on.
They lost five of them in the shooting of the movie. Right.
Guys, Ted's going to hang around. We're going to check the traffic. But, Pang, how are you feeling?
Come on. Just say something, Sam.
It's a big thrill. I'm touched. Thank you very much, Ted. By the way, you've won a $100 voucher from Safe.
You know, he did direct Weekend at Bernie's. If you haven't seen it, it is playing on the big screen this Saturday night, Lido, 9:30 p.m. Can you imagine?
Oh,
but, you know, The list of movies that you've been involved with, Ted, is extraordinary, and Sam is a huge fan of your work, and that's why we've surprised
him.
I
never, so happy.
Never thought I'd meet Ted Kotcheff. I can't believe it. So Weekend at Bernie's we've kind of covered, because you had nothing to do with Weekend at Bernie's 2, did you, Ted?
No.
No, because I remember the tagline for Weekend at Bernie's 2 was, Bernie's back and he's still dead. It's an amazing one. For Australian audiences, Wake in Fright is this a terrifying movie from the early 70s that, Ted, you directed and also went missing. It went missing.
I know. For about 13 or 14 years, it got lost. This happens with films. When the film opened, it didn't do very well, except in Paris, because it was at the Cannes Film Festival, and it ran 9 months in Paris, nowhere else.
Oh, gosh.
And the United Artists didn't believe in it, and they didn't support it with advertising and the rest of it.
Right.
And even in Australia, it didn't do great. I think people were a bit affronted by the depiction of the Aussie male as being a drunken, fighting, kangaroo shooting.
Right.
Now they do breakfast radio.
And I remember I was in one cinema, and in the middle of the picture, an Australian got up, here in Australia, in Sydney, a guy got up and said, and pointed at the screen and said, "This is not us."
Ooh.
And another voice cried out, "Sit down, you idiot. It is us." Sit down. It is us.
the footage of Waking Fright, so it went missing. Isn't it? It's amazing to think that in the modern day where everything's available all the time, Ted, that this,
I know.
The master footage of this was almost gone.
Well, when the film doesn't make money, it's a worthless object. And nobody's interested in it. They put it in a warehouse. Nobody's paying the rent for in the warehouse. So they I've seen this. You see 9 or 10 films. One guy said to me, "Ted, do you know anybody who was involved with these 10 films? Because if they don't claim them soon, we're going to burn them."
Isn't that amazing?
So what?
And they were going to burn. They were going to burn Wake and Fright a week later when it was found. It was had to have been discovered 8 days later than it was. It would never.
And of course, Waking Fright, if you actually go through and do your research on it, it is arguably the greatest Australian film ever made.
That's
critics
right.
say. You know, they talk about Crocodile Dundee and all these films, but Waking Fright's a classic. Now, another one you made, Rambo, First Blood, you directed that.
Yes.
What was Sylvester Stallone like?
Oh, he was great. At the time, he loved the script, and he said, "I'll do it, Ted. But I want to work on this." He knew that I was rewriting it.
Mm.
And he said, "Can I join? I want to rewrite it with you." I said, "Sure." Because what about Sylvester Stallone? He has a good popular sense. He knows what audiences like to see and what they don't like to see.
Mm.
In fact, one of the great things was at the ending of the film when we shot it. And he said, and it was great. And what he did was he committed Harry Caray. The colonel had a gun. He said, "I know you've come in here with that gun to put me out of my misery.
Mm.
And you're right. You thought of me. You created me. Now you kill me." And the guy, of course, can't shoot him. But he's holding the gun. And we had Sylvester reached out, pressed the trigger, and blew himself away and committed Harry Caray. And he did it. And he did it brilliantly. And we were fine. And then he got up. And Sylvester said, "Ted, can I talk to you for a second?" I said, "Sure. What's up?" He said, "Listen, we put this character through so much. He gets chased by dogs. He gets shot and he has to sew his arm up himself. He jumps off cliffs into trees. He goes through freezing water. And now we're going to kill him?" The audience is going to hate us, Ted. They're really going to hate us.
Wow.
And I said, "You got a point." I said, "And I think it's over the top." I said, it was based on the force at the time. Vietnam veterans were committing suicide at an alarming rate. 1,000 a month were attempting suicide. 350 at least were successful. Can you imagine? So that's why we always conceived of First Blood being a suicide mission.
Yeah.
There was no place for him. They didn't want him. The left wing thought they were baby killers, and the right wing thought they were losers.
Mm.
And so there's no place for them. So they committed suicide.
Ted, did he also come up and say, "Hey, Ted, I'd like to make about 5 more of these, by the way. Can we just keep the character alive?" Hard to, people forget, mate, all he wanted was a cup of coffee, Brownie. All he wanted was a cup of coffee in that little sleepy town.
That's right.
And Brian Dennehy and Richard Crenna, these are amazing actors that you got to work with.
So that town was like a microcosm of America and how they treated Vietnam vets.
I can't believe that we're running out of time.
Swan, go this quickly.
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's Celebrity Stuff.
Taking over celebrity stuff today is Ted Kotcheff, amazing director of unbelievable amount of films.
Weekend at Bernie's, Awake in Fright, Rambo: First Blood.
North Dallas 40.
The original Fun with Dick and Jane, with Jane Fonda, and Law and Order SVU, everyone's favourite show. Talk to us about how that happened.
How that happened? It happened because Dick Wolf had seen all my films.
Yeah.
And was looking for someone to run the show. And that's how it happened. He came over to me, and if I'm going to do television, I wanted to go in an area that no one else had gone into. Yeah. No one had ever dealt with sex crimes, child molestations, rapes.
Yes.
You know, and expose what was going happening in that area.
Are you behind that sound effect that can only be such a great...
No, that's Dick Wolf's speciality.
By Dick Wolf is an iconic... this show is created by Dick Wolf. You don't even know that, don't you? It's a radio show. But it's for a man, though, Ted, who obviously directed films in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and then can you believe how good the current day of television, a golden era, do you think? Mm-hmm. In terms of Netflix and all these great television shows that are out there, could you imagine that ever happening growing up with film being number one?
No, I couldn't.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So the fact, what's happened now in Hollywood is, of course, they're only doing these big, what they call tentpole pictures, ones with budgets of $200 million, and they have man in the title, Ant Man, Spider Man, Iron Man, Superman. If it doesn't get man in the title, it can't be made. And films, the kind of films that I want to make, are all independently financed. And they're all like, if you watch these films, like any of the ones we mentioned, there's always 10 or 8 to 10 credits at the end, producers' credits, because 8 people have contributed money to the making of the film.
Yeah.
Practically every decent film now has about 8 or 10 names at the end.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And so the whole style of filmmaking now has changed. I mean, the financing of films.
So, yeah. the qualities on telly. Even Meryl Streep's just signed up to do a TV series.
But Netflix is great because it's financing a lot of low budget films.
Correct.
Ted, you've worked with many a great actor that everyone knows. Who's the greatest actor you've worked with?
I would say that Gene Hackman is probably the greatest actor. Because what I say to people, he didn't act. He wasn't acting. It was being with him. He was the character, and I could ask him to do anything because he would do it as the character. If I told him, stand on your head and read the Bible backwards, he'd do it, say, okay, and he would do it like the character.
Wow.
So he never hesitated.
On behalf of Brownie, how did Gene Hackman learn his lines? Do you know how he would learn his lines?
That's a good question, Ted, because, so, for instance, you've worked with so many actors and actresses over the years. What's the best method you've found for those people to remember and learn their lines?
To learn their lines?
Yeah. See, I told you it's a ridiculous question, big fella.
Yes, it is a ridiculous question. I think it's parcel of the actor's job,
which is to learn his lines,
and then you never had to.
Ted, can you believe this? That man over there, Brownie, he asked Kurt Russell and Samuel L. Jackson in an interview how they remembered their lines.
Great reaction. Hey, Ted Kotcheff, you've absolutely made our day. He is here in Melbourne for Monster Fest. It's happening at Lido Cinemas in Hawthorne. What a beautiful venue. From today to Sunday, don't forget Weekend at Bernie's on the big screen, 9:30 Saturday. Head to the website monsterfest.com.au. Don't miss this, guys.
Okay.
One man, many questions, 100% honesty.
I wouldn't expect anything less from the Brisbane Lions captain.
Have all the answers.
I run on me thighs.
Ask Brownie.
Here it is, Melbourne, your chance to ask him absolutely anything.
Can I start off with asking you, Chrissy Swan?
Oh, makes me nervous.
Earlier on in the day, we came up with a what would you rather.
Yes.
Maybe a segment will debut.
Maybe.
What would you rather, Swan, if you had to have one arm was a stump and at the end of that stump was a pineapple?
Pineapple arm.
So you had a pineapple arm, but you're allowed to eat whatever you wanted for the rest of your life, but you had to have a stump, a pineapple as a stump.
Right, yes.
Or...
Is it my right stump?
It's your righting hand.
Mm.
Or you've got your limbs are... in full health, you've got normal limbs, normal arms, but you can only eat pineapples for the rest of your life.
Do you know what? I'm going to keep my hands and only eat pineapple.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I am.
Interesting.
Because it kills two birds with one stone. It kills nice. Many birds with one stone.
Can we do the one that I did off air before?
Probably not, okay. Dino. Probably not. Hayley from Patterson Lakes, you have an audience with the big fella. What is your question for Brownie?
Hi, guys. Hey, I darling. Love your show.
Oh, we love you. You,
I listen to it nearly every morning.
Good on you,
What's
darling.
What's your question, Hayley?
My question is, what is your favourite breakfast cereal?
Wow. She's asking the tough questions, Brownie.
Porridge.
Is it?
Porridge.
Hayley, are you surprised by the answer of porridge?
Yeah, I am. I thought it would be like Nutri-Grain or Cheerios or something like that.
So did I. And this is why Brownie, whoa. You know, is rocketing up the radio charts well, because he's a man of surprises.
I'm a porridge man, but I think in about 2008... I did an ad for Nutri-Grain, so it was definitely Nutri-Grain in 2008.
Of course it was. Good on you, Hayley.
Good on your Hales.
All right.
A little bit of cashy there.
Who have we got? Okay, so we got Fiona from Doncaster, beautiful Doncaster.
Hi, guys.
Hello, darling.
Hi, Fiona. How are you? What's your question?
Wondering how soon it is. How soon is too soon to move in with someone?
Whoa.
Jeez.
God, lots of variables, I'm guessing.
How soon are is it to move in with someone?
Fiona, are you asking for a friend?
No.
You're asking for you?
Yes.
All right, sister. Let's sort this out for you
Fiona,
before the day is done.
I'm not going to ask your exact age, but are you in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s?
40s.
Oh, so you're still a young lady?
Mm-hmm.
See what he did there, Fee?
He did. Very smooth. Very smooth.
What you didn't see was a little wink to me.
Fiona. Fiona, this is a difficult one because I tell you what, when me and Kyle's moved in together, after about, it might have been about 7 or 8 months.
Okay.
Mares are not, didn't go down that well.
Too soon.
Oh, Mares, wouldn't that be a strong, staunch Catholic girl?
Of course.
From the bush.
How long before you moved in together?
It was about 8 months, 8 or 9 months. But Coles is an air hostess though, so it was sort of like a temporary visa, you know. She'd only be home 3 nights a week. So it was good, you know.
Temporary visa.
So I would have thought...
It's like a formula, isn't it? Age versus
I would have thought
how long you've been going out.
You're an experienced woman in life, Fiona, respectfully.
See what he did there, Fiona.
Respectfully, yeah. That you have been around the traps. You would be smart. You would be wise. I would have thought you only need 5 or 6 months. I reckon that's enough. But I tell you what, if you feel your heart has been captured, bloody move in after a week.
Okay.
Fiona, because you're going to be moving lots of heavy furniture, we're going to give you a private bathing package for two people at the Peninsula Hot Springs.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Relaxation, vitality, connection. Give them more of what they need this Christmas. You and he who shall remain nameless.
Fiona, how long have you been dating he who shall
remain nearly nameless? 9 months.
9 months. Fiona, can I know I'm late to this, but if you do... decide to move in. Don't unpack all the boxes. You know, man.
Chrissy, Sam, and Brownie, made for Melbourne, Nova 100.
Yellow.
You know, every time I hear it, I think of this tiny little flat that I was living in up near the Botanical Gardens. Just moved back from overseas. I was single for the first time in 8 years.
Ooh.
Very Brownie. Busy time.
Purple patch swan.
Oof. So what's one level more than purple?
Hey, Jamin has more chances to get in the draw, and then tomorrow morning you could be off to our private red room with Coldplay.
Morning to Chippy if you're shooting in late.
He's like, where was I? Look what I'm left with.
Plenty of clover in the paddock, Swan.
Oh, yes. Hey, we're out of here. It's past 9, and we're eating into Jason with the bees. Shift.
It's French.
Show. And I just want to, before we go, I want to give the final word to Mr. O'Connell in Brisbane, who apprehended a man who had the audacity to smash through his friend's parents' fish and chip shop overnight.
But I had nothing on bar me jocks.
Beautiful.
And we hope that's how you spend your day too.
Get more Chrissy, Sam and Brownie on Facebook and Instagram. Made for Melbourne. Nova.
Morning,
good
Melbourne.
Morning, Melbourne. What's
Sorry,
going on?
It turned on quickly and I was just showing a screenshot on my phone of a photo I saw last night that brought me such joy, and it's Jonathan Brown's little middle child, Jackie Brown.
Well, he wanted to do a swap because the Stringers were over yesterday. Swan Jake Stringer, Bulldogs premiership player, brought his kids over. And I got home and Jack wanted to do a swap with his little, I think about 6 month, little daughter. Wanted to get rid of Macy.
Yeah.
Our 2-year-old daughter. Happy for us. It doesn't work like that, little Jackie Brown.
Yeah, I think that's fairly standard. My middle son has often said, can I please have a different brother? But, you know, it's all part of their own learning curve. That's what I think.
Well, Swan, I was home alone again last night. Like, fair dinkum.
Kyles, can you please stop having fun? What the hell's going on?
I'm the glue that's holding this family together. Don't you worry about that. Between Kyles and Jackie Charles, they do not miss an event in this town. They go to the opening of an envelope.
Our little tiny producer, Jackie Charles, out on the town with your wife again. Well, tongues will be wagging.
Well, I had to again ask Jackie this morning. I said, where was Kyles last night, mate? He just straight away just bang there. She was at some fashion thing or...
I just love it.
Some hiring higher dresses or whatever. Anyway, but Swan, magnificent performance. Father of the Year performance. I went down to grab the bottle for little Macy.
Yes.
Go back upstairs. Yes. The three of them. Olivia... Jack and Macy sitting in Olivia's bed, and Olivia is reading him a bedtime story.
Oh,
boom! Nice. Boom! You can go out again tonight, Kyle.
I said, kids, just put yourself to sleep. I'll go back downstairs.
Father of the Year. Bernardo's Father of the Year.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Here's what you're waking up to, Melbourne. A couple of... a really sad story on the front page of the Herald Sun this morning. Brad and Chris Scott's brother, they've got a couple of brothers, but Ben Scott, their brother, died over the weekend tragically, had an anaphylactic attack. Most likely the source was macadamia because he had allergies to macadamia. And on the weekend he had a home delivery down at his place at Bond Beach there. And he went into anaphylactic shock. Now the paramedics tried to save him and revive him, but he passed away. It's such a sad, sad state of affairs. A very close-knit family. The Scotts, there is the four boys and the sister and their father, Colin Scott, who was a Vietnam veteran, died when the boys were young as well from an asthma attack.
Yeah.
So tragic, tragic
it
circumstances.
It is tragic, and I think it's a really good... you know, opportunity, I suppose, to sort of redress our feelings about anaphylaxis and that it is truly a serious condition. There's a lot of sort of culture around it, particularly at schools. You know, people tend to feel like because you can't bring cupcakes to school and you've got to label all the ingredients now and you can't have a peanut butter sandwich, there's a sort of underlying feeling of, oh, this is political correctness gone mad. And every time
I'm one of them.
But
I've been one of them.
Yeah, it can kill people, and it is killing people. And I just think there's a mum at school whose child has an allergy to nuts, and I see it all the time. People sort of rolling their eyes and. You know, like she's being
Swan, you know
over
what?
The top. But this will kill her child.
Why do you think we are rolling our eyes, though? We are rolling our eyes out there because people say they have allergies when they don't really have allergies.
This is true
now,
as
this,
well.
Now, this poor bugger, Ben Scott, has a true allergy where he loses his life for it.
Yes.
Okay? But we jump up and down all the time now saying... we're allergic to eggs. We're allergic to nuts. We're allergic to this. We're allergic to that when, you know, you might get a bloody sniffly nose and you say, all of a sudden, I'm lactose intolerant. I have these arguments with my wife at home, so I'm happy to talk about this on air.
Yeah.
Therefore, we become blasé about it.
It's the boy who cried wolf.
It is the boy who cried wolf. So poor buggers like Ben Scott, you sort of, they don't, there is not enough importance placed on it to avoid situations like this.
I couldn't agree more.
No, so that, I understand why people jump up and down. I've cracked the shits a couple of times when I've turned up with the, after packing this kid's school lunch and had peanut butter sandwich or egg sandwiches and the kindy teacher say, oh no, you can't eat that. And you go, oh geez, the world's gone mad.
But that could kill a child.
It could. It could. And this is a really a big warning, isn't it, to everyone out there?
That's right.
So really sad. I feel terrible for the Scott boys, who I'm obviously quite close to and played in premierships with. They will not attend the AFL National Draft tomorrow night, obviously in mourning for their dear brother. Now, in other news, Swan, Barley. The young fella, Jamie Murphy, the Barley lad, who was caught with a bag of drugs, a little baggie.
Yes.
Found that that little baggie contained some painkillers,
paracetamol,
crushed up paracetamol, caffeine.
Yep, and a bit of cough.
Bit of cough medicine. And they've done the blood tests on him as well. Came back negative.
Negatory, Big Ben.
Now, he's going
to. Never before has a tourist in Bali been so delighted to be ripped off by their purchase.
Yes. He would have been sweating bullets.
Yesterday, didn't I say, man, I hope he was stitched up by some dodgy dude in Legian and that he didn't buy what he thought he was buying. Is the best outcome.
1.46 grams of white powder he was caught with.
Thank God.
Imagine the kid, though, just goes to show the placebo effect. This kid, if he had gone upstairs and snorted those drugs or taken those drugs, he would have been as high as a car.
Yes,
he would have been higher than Joe Cocker on the dance floor, don't worry.
Isn't Barley great? Yeah. Generally, my interactions in my world are really pleasant.
Yeah.
And I love people and I love my interactions.
Well,
but
you're a very generous, warm-hearted person.
Yeah. And reasonable, I think.
I've got a very
long fuse, don't you think?
Yeah, you do.
You ever seen me mad?
Longest.
Nah. You've got a lot longer fuse than myself, Swan.
I tell you what, I'm starting to get a bit mad. Fuse is lit. So
you've got a bit of Paddy Swan in you.
Paddy Swan's
it's in the genetics.
She's very smooth. Dad is more likely to punch you out.
Mm. Yeah. Well, of course he would.
And do you know what? He's a bit Slater and Gordon. He fights for fair.
Is he?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And that's my thing too. When things are a bit unfair for me or particularly for other people, that's when I get really fired up.
Yeah, you do.
And something's unfair, I reckon. I've vacated a premises, and you know how you've got to get it all spick and span. You've got to get it looking like you never lived there before you hand the keys back.
Yep.
So we're in that process at the moment, which is no mean feat with three kids under seven, returning a house after living in it for 2 years.
Prick of a job.
Oh, look, it's hard. You've got to get the carpets cleaned and present the receipt.
Exactly.
Which we've done, and they came up great. But I went to the house yesterday. No one's been to the house since, so we're out of it, and then the cleaners have come in. Anyway, I walk in, and there's these three big stains down the hallway.
Oh.
And I go...
One on the carpet?
Yes. And I'm with the real estate agent at the time. And she's like, what is this? And then I'm like, I look like a liar.
What a slob.
I know.
Mrs. Swan, she's thinking.
She's thinking, I'm going straight to New Idea with this.
Yes.
Carpet mystery, Swan's shame.
That'd be awesome. Imagine the headlines we could pull on that
carpet
one.
Carpet mystery.
The front page. And wouldn't I promote the fact?
Too posh to clean.
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
You'd have unnamed sources talking about how they grew up with you and used to be a slob growing up.
What a dirty pig. Anyway, I see these stains and I think they were not there. They were not there when we left. They're new stains and big and obvious.
Colour.
Sort of a brownie colour.
Oh, not good.
No. And I, mysterious stains, and I call the carpet company and I go, look, there's, and I'm really nice, I go, there's these weird stains that weren't there. Anyway, then they start, well, they were there. I said, no, they weren't.
Oh, here we go.
They weren't there. Please don't call me a liar. I've really got a thing about it.
It's a bit like me.
I've really got a thing about that.
So backwards and forward, a bit like me and Pingy yesterday
backwards
trying to pick
forwards.
Who was Milo and Otis. Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
Correct, but only one can be right. And in this case, it's going to be me, all right? Those stains weren't there. Anyway, I thought, I wonder how I can prove it. Because I could be saying anything.
Mm.
Would you believe that on the day before we moved out of the house, I took a photo of that exact part of the carpet?
Here we go.
I have goosebumps thinking about it. Well, never done. In my life has life turned out so satisfying. I nearly broke my fingers getting the photo and emailing it.
Oh.
And you can see clearly from, it was a picture of like the hall stand full of stuff.
Why
and
did
then
you do that?
Clean carpet. I think I was taking a photo of something on the hall stand to sell on Facebook, you know, in my big sale.
Yep.
And you can see clearly that there's the hall stand there, and then in the photograph where there's nothing, where there's just the carpet, you can see the spots where the hall stand was.
Yes.
And it absolutely matches up. And I've sent that to them. They're still saying that, you know, that I'm lying, but I'm hoping that by mentioning it on the radio that they will...
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's celebrity stuff.
So Jennifer Aniston was on a talk show recently, and she said that her and her co-stars were not fans of the show theme for Friends.
The song?
This one.
What?
And also, yeah. Can you remember when it would start? Life was gonna be this way.
That's a good song, though.
Yeah, and it was so gorgeous that it was sort of sliced with, you know, Joey coming around the corner when, you know, his part was on and bits from the show, and then also extra bits like dancing in the fountain. Do you remember at the end where they just go, oh, hang it all, we're young and free and we're going to dance in this goddamn fountain?
They might have thought they were too cool for it. They thought it was too young and cheap.
Kel's surprise. Have a listen what Jen says.
No one was really a big fan of that theme song. We felt it was a little, I don't know, dancing in a pond. It felt like a fountain. Felt sort of odd, but we did it.
Not too cool for us now, are you, Jen?
Yeah. Not when you're getting paid a mil an episode.
Mate, I would do more than dance in a fountain for a million an episode.
Bloody hell.
I'd dance in a fountain of poo.
Whoa!
Sometimes our big thing is, you know how you do Would You Rather?
Yeah.
There's a little river in Bali, and if you've been to Bali, you'll know it. It leads out to the beach near La Luciola.
Oh, Poo River.
Poo River. Wider than a mile. And it stinks like nothing you've ever smelt. It's full of dead things. It is the worst river in the world. And often the Chips and I will play games about Poo River in Bali and what it would take for us to stand in it, or sometimes he says to drink a glass of water from it. And so far, we have not found anything in the world that would make us do it. No amount of cash, no amount of, you know, sex with amazing people, nothing will make us have a glass of water from Poo River near La Luciola in Bali.
Fair dinkum.
Yep.
Well, there you go. We learn something every day.
See if I can find a photo of Poo River.
Please.
Last time we were there, these poor construction workers were working in it.
Oh.
Chips was like, mate, this is a hard gig. Mm. ARIA Awards last night, of course. Troy Sivan took home two gongs. He's our producer, Jackie the Lackey's good friend. Loves it. He's all bowled
it.
He interviewed him. I'd love to replay that. I'd love to hear it again because it was so F-U-N-N-Y. Pang's favourite, Bernard Fanning, took home Best Adult Contemporary Album for his latest album, Civil Dusk. Woo. It is a wonderful album, so Pang will be happy. But of course...
He came in here early in the year too.
Yes, he did.
Bernard.
Pop star, Flume. Wow. Doesn't sing a note, but he's taken out up to 8 awards. Reports are conflicting between 5 and 8, but all the biggies, album of the year, best male artist, best dance release, best independent release, best pop release. He's the one that goes, you know, never be like you.
Yes.
That one.
What's good his song. Real name? Was there
somewhere? Charlie Bucket.
Yes, it is.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Swan, overnight, I've just found an article. Just trawling through the internet.
Good man.
Seeing if I can find some dirt on any of our upcoming guests. And I found this little article. And there was a PI that was interviewed.
Oh, yeah.
For the Daily Mail, your favourite publication, Swan. His name is Luke Athens, based in Sydney. Been a PI for 21 years.
Don't know him, but I do know a few PRs.
Well, if ever, not that Chippy ever would, but if Chippy starts throwing swan, you can put Luke Athens onto the case because he follows around or tries to catch out cheaters.
So I love this guy already.
So he goes, obviously the partners come and they say, look, we need to try and I suspect my partner is having extracurricular things.
Yes.
With partners.
Can I tell you
to go out and get them.
This is a growth industry.
Oh, yeah.
PIs following people, particularly with the rise of the internet, where cheating is so easy to conceal.
Websites, mm-hmm. Tinder, all these types of things, Swan.
And catfishing, that is also another growth industry for PIs.
Exactly right. Mm. Now, Swan, he went through some of his favourite places, his favourite stories that actually caught them.
Give me everything. Give me all you got.
I've got a few examples. The bread delivery truck was one. There was a he caught a cheating couple. They saw a bread truck on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And obviously the delivery man was delivering the bread.
Yeah.
And the back of the bread truck was open. So the cheating couple decided, let's get one away in the back of the bread truck.
You're joking.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, I love bread as much as the next person.
So they were rolling around in the wholemeal, the white bread, the multigrain, bit of rye, bit of sourdough, and they came out. So he's got it all on film, and the lady comes out with breadcrumbs all over her. She's got her pants up, but the fella's still got his stacks down.
You're
when
joking.
He was caught.
Hot anyway, dog?
Hot dog it is. So there
hot
we go.
Hot diggity, hot diggity, what you do to me? It's so new to me.
And another case, the bushland. Now, this fellow would go for a jog, Swan. Would go for a jog every day. Mm. As a lot of people do to keep fit.
Yeah.
You know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
Brownie.
And after a few months, he thought, this bloke, I think his missus is he's jumping at shadows. Because this bike's as clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
He just goes for a run during his lunch break. So he just was about to give in and go back to the partner and say, no, you're jumping at shadows.
Yeah.
You're seeing things. He's as straight as a die.
Right.
He's as loyal as an old dog. But no, he decides to go for a run. He puts the running gear on himself and sort of follows this fella.
What?
They run through the bushland. And as they're coming
along...
That's
not a euphemism.
No, exactly.
He was running through the bushland in more ways than one.
Running through the bushland in more ways than one. And he was...
Cutting a swathe.
All of a sudden, a lady joins him on the track as they're running along. And they run along a little bit further. And all of a sudden, they just divert off the bush track and into the bushes. He waits. And about 15 minutes later... They come back and they rejoin the bush track and they continue on their run back to the office. They separate.
That's hot. Sorry.
So what he does, he goes back and he sets up. Oh, yeah, a bit of action. Don't worry about that.
Oh, my God.
Hot day, about 37 degrees, bit of a humidity in the skies.
Oh, my God. Beats going over to Victoria Gardens on your lunch break. Getting a plate of spew from the food court.
Bit of moisture around, Swan. Now, Swan, so what he does, he goes back and sets up hidden cameras in the bushland, hoping that they may repeat the same location.
He's conscientious,
the next day.
You
wouldn't believe it. The two runners, they go along again. They meet up on the bush track. They go off at the same spot.
Yes.
There it is, all on secret cameras. So, bang, catches them out.
Are they doing that or are they just having a game of cards or something?
No, they're doing it. Oh, yeah. Hot and sweaty action. Don't worry. Play the Magic Mike music, Dino.
A diversion
it was
in the
well
bushland.
On. So anyway, he gets him. But the best one, the best catch he ever had, Swan.
Yep.
The Bunnings car park.
Oh, my God.
The Bunnings car park. You know there's a fair bit of action on a Saturday morning. You got the sausage sizzle.
Busy as hell.
All the wannabe tradies out there buying a drill.
Yes.
You know, buying a new hammer.
Yes.
Trying to fix the toilet at home, whatever it may be.
Yes.
This fella in his 50s. In his 50s, going at it in the car park of Bunnings. That was his bet, all on camera, and hot and sweaty as well. He said he could see the sweat beading on his forehead.
Was he with anyone, or was it just a packet of drill bits?
No, he was with someone, and this is where the story went wrong. This fella would never have got caught if he had gone to Masters.
The hilarious new movie, Office Christmas Party, starring Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston, is in cinemas from December 8th. Party like your job depends on it.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie's Christmas Party Confessions.
I wish Jason Bateman...
Want a party?
I wish Jason Bateman would come to our Christmas party. I would be very inappropriate with him. I would be fired for all the things I want to do to Jason Bateman.
Did you wait for the dance floor swan or just into it in the bar?
Straight up.
Right.
This is next Friday, so we could make that happen this morning. Nicole.
Nicole from Mitcham. Sunny Mitcham. How are you, Nicole?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, bloody great. Christmas time, hey? Madness.
Oh, it brings nerves down my spine.
Yeah, I bet it does. Talk to us about your Christmas party story.
So I work for a very large company, and this was my first Christmas party for them.
Do you still work for them?
I still work for them, yes.
What area is it in? Like what?
The motorcycle industry.
Okay, so it's Harley Davidson. Yep.
Yep.
Nice.
Nicole, talk to us about, I can imagine the Harley Davidson Christmas party.
Should be a fair Christmas party.
Extra security.
Yeah. We might turn up to that one next week.
What happened, Nicole?
I decided that it would be probably in my best intentions not to drink alcohol that night.
Wise.
I did, however, wear high heels and bright red lipstick.
No.
Of course, me being the klutz that I am, I tripped over, not only fell on my face, but as I fell, my face slid down my boss's leg and left a great big kissing mark all down his leg.
Wait, that's your story and we're going to stick to it.
Well, at least...
it's going down to blazing glory.
At least that's what the boss told his wife.
Nicole, what a ripper. And no alcohol involved, which is good.
Well done, Nicole.
Good girl.
I've never been back.
Hey, Nicole.
That's where you went wrong, Nicole.
Nicole?
Yes?
You've won a grand.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
$1,000. Good on you, darling.
We'll do this.
I think I might have my own Christmas party.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.